This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Tonight we've got two back-to-back political forums. If you've been listening to the promos running all day, first up, the race for sheriff. We've got the incumbent here. That's Republican Joe McDonnell. Good evening. Thank you for attending.
Thank you for having me.
And we have his challenger, Democrat Scott Vecchi. Thank you for joining us tonight as well.
Thank you for having me.
And joining me to ask questions, we have our own Monday Night Talk host, and that's Kevin Tachi.
Hello.
Hello. And Charles Matthewson is on his way here. He was in Boston. Thank you. Amy Leonard, WATD's own Vanna White, will be holding the construction paper because we find this really works trying to keep people to their time because we're giving folks 2 minutes for opening and closing statements and then a minute to answer questions. And the green means go, the red means stop. And as we know, even in Massachusetts, yellow means you've got 10 seconds, doesn't mean go faster. And hopefully Charles Matthewson will make it here for the forum. As we said, he's on his way back from...
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, wow. The non-speeding Charles Matthewson.
The WATD helicopter has landed.
Very nice. Thank you for joining us. So we keep our format simple. We use the same format for every forum. We do the opening and closing statements. We ask the candidates to have them prepared. Then we have a round of questions from reporters. The round of questions includes a lightning round, and that's where the answer is either yes or no. That's yes or no without an explanation, or one or two sentences, and that's one or two sentences tops. So the reporter will ask you what kind of an answer they want, whether it's yes or no or one or two sentences. And if we have enough time, and we always try to do this, we give the candidates a chance to ask each other a question or two. We've asked them to try to keep their answers to a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then that's right, you get the bell. Now, we just chose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie. We're going to begin with Scott Vecchi and then go to Joe McDonald. So we say good evening and welcome, Scott Vecchi.
Thank you for having me. My name is Scott Vecchi. I'm a husband and a father of three children. I'm the fourth generation of a public safety professional family. I'm a public servant, not a politician. I live in Plymouth. I'm a member of the Alden and Mayflower Societies. I'm currently a sergeant with the Plymouth Police Department. I'm a retired Marine Gunnery Sergeant and combat veteran of Iraq. When I returned, the VA sent me to law school, and I became an attorney as well. I have 23 years of police and corrections experience. I'm an adjunct professor at Quincy College, where I teach classes on domestic violence and drugs in our society. When I'm elected, I'll be the only sheriff who has started as a corrections officer and worked his way to the top. I've administered Narcan on overdose victims and helped family members work through the Section 35 process to get their loved ones into treatment. I'm running on a platform of change and innovation. A vote for sheriff should be based on professional experience and policy, not politics, partisanship, or patronage. A vote for me is a vote for been there, done that, frontline experience. Yesterday, I was a guest at one of the Haitian churches in Brockton. I got there early, wound up sitting through the whole service. The sermon was based on that you're not your past, and your future is more important than your past. So I'd like to tell you about my future as the next Plymouth County Sheriff. Most people don't realize that the Sheriff's Department is not governed by the same rules as police and fire for hiring and promotion. I'll instill these same transparent procedures that will make me accountable to you, the public. I'll institute the Vivitrol shots to eliminate opiate cravings for recently released inmates. I'll bring the NEEDS program, which has inmates train service dogs for the deaf and disabled. I'll bring the Equine Experience Program, which helps veterans, women, and children deal with PTSD. I'll adopt a taser program and other less lethal tools so the corrections officers can deal with violent situations without hurting anyone and protect themselves and other inmates from violence. A vote for me is a vote for change and innovation, and I respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement of Scott Vecchi. Now we're going to go to the incumbent, and that's Joe McDonald.
Thank you, Christine. I thank WATD for having us in here, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my candidacy for re-election. It is my firm belief that elections can be won, but re-election must be earned. I respect that my opponent has stated that he's a law enforcement professional. I, too, lay claim to that. I have over 20 years of experience, 12 of those as the Plymouth County Sheriff, 9 of those as an assistant district attorney here in Plymouth County. My educational background, I'm a graduate of Marshfield High School, Suffolk University Law School, University of Massachusetts at Amherst. I'm a graduate of the National District Attorneys Association National Advocacy Center in Columbia, South Carolina, the National Sheriff's Academy in Longmont, Colorado, and the FBI Leeds Academy at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. I have done the job for the last 12 years, and I would suggest have done a very good job. I can't take all the credit for that because I am surrounded by a very, very good staff. In fact, I would say the best in the business. It's been my honor to lead them for the last 12 years, and I have had the opportunity during that 12 years to have a record that I think when people look at will be most impressed. We have been able to regain national accreditation that had been lost prior to my arrival as sheriff 12 years ago. The accreditation that we have from the American Correctional Association, which is the gold standard, we were reaccredited in 2008, three times since, and we are due to be reaccredited again in 2017. I'm very proud of that. I'm also very proud to say, as we sit here, we are the sheriff's office that offers the highest level of community service, both within the correctional facility for rehabilitative and vocational programs for our inmates and outside in the communities with the BCI, the K-9, our field services, communication center. And while we're doing all of those services, we are doing it at the lowest per inmate cost. So we are the most efficient correctional facility in the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I am the immediate past president of the Massachusetts Sheriff's Association, and I was honored to be on the governor's opiate working group known as the task force. I am also serving on his criminal justice reform working group. I'm honored to be there as well. I know many things are going to be said. We do have systems in place to deal with all of what is going on, and we're very proud of that. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the incumbent, Joe McDonald. Now we're going to go to our questions. Let's start now. Kevin Tonchi, questions for the candidates. Your first question and who it's directed toward.
First question is for Mr. Vecchi. Your campaign has hit the sheriff on several different issues in some of the commercials that you put out, including pay-to-play and double-dipping. If you could, please explain and give some evidence of this to our listeners.
When they talk about pay-to-play, The fact that Sheriff McDonald has taken $841,000 in campaign contributions, and most of it has come from his employees, I say 85 to 90% of his, and the evidence of it's simply from the OCPF. Pay-to-play isn't my idea, it's what's been related to me from people who work in there. And that quantity of money coming from people who work from you just appears bad. And one of the things that they taught us as attorneys, we're both attorneys, is that if it looks bad, you shouldn't do it. Again, pay-to-play is the feeling that's been related to me by the corrections officers who work there. They feel that if they don't contribute, then they're not going to advance. And whether it exists or not, just the appearance of that within the facility is, in my opinion, wrong.
Is this just one particular person who has said this as far as they feel that way? Or have you had an outpouring of individuals who have come to you? Is there a number?
I have had people calling me on a daily basis, current and past correctional officers who work there, and have all related that same feeling to me. Again, it's not something that I just simply made up. It's something that was related to me by employees.
You said $800,000. Is that over the 12 years that he's been in office, or over a smaller amount of time? Over what time?
That's over the 12 years.
Okay.
Do you want to ask the sheriff the same question?
Well, actually, I'm going to ask him a similar question. Okay. That is, if you've ever asked an employee at the sheriff's department for campaign contributions, and is there a pay-to-play culture at the department?
Kevin, that could not be further from the truth. My opponent knows that. He's mischaracterized this in Facebook videos. I find it very distasteful that he would make such assertions. I have been the sheriff for 12 years, and for 14 of those 12 years, and think about the math on that one, I have enjoyed great support from the employees of the sheriff's office. I was getting support from them before I was there, both encouragement to run, financial contributions, and volunteering on my campaign. I will never apologize for having the support of my employees. As for his assertion or his accusation that there's a pay-to-play culture down there, it couldn't be further from the truth, and he knows that. We have in place most of our employees, 90% of our employees are in unions. They are protected. They don't have to donate. Those individuals, when they are going to get promotions or lateral transfers, they will take an exam. It's based on the exam score. It's based on their time of service, their longevity, their seniority. This couldn't be further from the truth. I find it unconscionable because over the last 10 years, my opponent, who's not a politician, has run for 5 different offices, never had a problem with taking employee contributions in the past, has an epiphany 3 weeks ago.
Would you consider refusing employee contributions?
You know, Kevin, the short answer to that is no. And the reason that I wouldn't is because I believe that there are two types of public offices like this. Those offices that are going to accept employee contributions and report them in accordance with the law, like I have done on the OCPF websites, and those that don't report them but still take them. Meaning what they're going to do is, I'm not going to take a donation from Kevin Tocci, but I expect it from your parents, I expect it from your siblings, I expect it from your children. He cites a number of $841,000. I don't know where that comes from. He's got videos that are up alleging that individuals and my staff have donated more to me than they could by law. So he's alleging that they're committing crimes. I think that that is unconscionable. I think it's a terrible thing that he's doing, and I think he needs to stop this. Thank you.
Okay. Any follow-up questions?
Unless there's a follow-up by Mr. Vecchi, I have none.
The only thing I'd like to point out is there is an exam down at there for promotion that nobody knows the score of, that's not posted. And per the collective bargaining agreement, the sheriff has the ultimate discretion in any promotions. And that's in the collective bargaining agreement for ACE. The other thing I'd like to point out is that it's admirable that people want to help you get elected. But when you're their boss, taking that quantity of money from them just looks bad. And if the employees feel the environment exists, just that feeling from them is bad enough.
Okay. Let's go to Charles Matthews and questions for the candidates.
Scott, you've been the subject of internal affairs investigations at least twice. How does that tarnish your law enforcement credentials?
I've been a police officer for full-time 22 years, part-time for a year and a half before that. I'd say the fact that haven't had a huge number of complaints against me speaks volumes. And not only do I not feel that those tarnish my reputation, I train the entire police department twice a year in the use of force, firearms, taser. And if I wasn't doing a good job, and if the chief didn't have confidence in me, I wouldn't be training those officers to how to interact with the public on a daily basis. So I feel that, you know, a couple of missteps in a 23-year plus career, I don't think it tarnishes me at all.
Let me get specific about one of these charges, because it involves some unknown quantity that maybe you can take care of here tonight. In one of these instances, there were 4 teenagers in a car. 3 were arrested for possession of marijuana. The 4th was let go. The name was never known. And the implication is it's the name of the son of someone of some importance, either to the town, to the police force. Can you clear that up?
Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of my stuff. The sheriff does have a copy of all my stuff. From my recollection, I was the shift commander that night.
That's true.
That I was not on scene when this arrest was made. Mm-hmm. That 3 individuals were brought to me in custody. They were booked in, advised of their rights. And a period of time of about, I don't know, probably an hour to 2 hours had passed since this initial stop and arrest, when a report was presented to me. The shift commander corrects police reports as a routine. That's part of his job. I made a decision that name, the person who wasn't arrested, that I had no input on that decision to arrest or not arrest, and I simply advised them to take the name out of the report. Later on,
That person who wasn't arrested was the 4th person in the car, and the evidence showed that the other 3 had access to the baggie of marijuana in the glove compartment, and that 4th person did not. That's probably why he wasn't arrested, just to be clear.
Again, it's 10 years ago. So, I had no decision-making at scene on who was and wasn't arrested. I was presented with this report later on. I made a decision to have the name removed from the report. My supervisor didn't agree with that decision, and there was an internal complaint. I was never disciplined for it. I wasn't suspended. So, to me, the fact that the captain, who was now the chief and the past chief, decided that it wasn't worthy of formal discipline speaks volumes.
Okay, Joe, you don't have any direct law enforcement experience. Is that a deficit?
I would take great exception to that, Charles. I do have direct law enforcement. I was 9 years an assistant district attorney.
You went
and for
on
the last 12 years, I have been the sheriff.
Yeah, you went on the
Did I do street-level law enforcement? Did I make arrests? No. But what I did do through the district attorney's office was supervise investigations, make decisions as far as search warrants, and prosecuted all of those cases in the district courts and superior courts of Massachusetts, so Plymouth County. So I would suggest to you that I have a very extensive law enforcement career, a law enforcement management career.
And to follow up on what I asked Scott, he said you have those records, he doesn't. I have those records. I don't know how, but they have been disseminated.
I can tell you exactly how. Mm-hmm. I did a Freedom of Information request per Massachusetts law to the Plymouth Police Department and obtained a copy, or at least a partial copy, of Mr. Vecchi's personnel file. And that personnel file is several hundred pages in length and is replete with many things. Repeated use of excessive force. We won't even go into that. But what I do want to say is this. On the one thing that you have mentioned here, this was a situation that the police report does not say that one person didn't have access and that's why they were kicked loose. It's inexplicable why this took place. What took place was four individuals who had equal access in a motor vehicle to marijuana were arrested. They were brought in, and for some unknown reason, Mr. Vecchi decided that one individual should be released. That individual was released, and he ordered that the police report be falsified.
Well,
the falsified police report was then submitted for prosecution, and the prosecutor at that time, who was Lieutenant Abbott, saw what was going on, and that's how this was discovered. And I would note that my colleague here says that this was a misstep. This is not a misstep, Charles. This is a 10-year felony. 268 Section 13E. This is a 10-year felony to falsify police reports, and it goes directly to his candor. It goes directly to the integrity of the criminal justice system.
First of all, as to the facts, I think anyone who reads the report can determine for themselves that the fourth person who was not arrested did not have access to the glove box, and the other three did. My question to Scott was this someone who was known? We still don't know who the person is. He says he doesn't know who it was. And are you saying that this fourth person was not arrested because as a favor?
You know, I don't know that. And the only individual in this room who would be privy to that doesn't seem to remember.
Well, and at the time of the investigation, nobody knew the name either. But my question to you was this released as a campaign smear?
No, this was released as fact. I mean, if you can smear someone in a campaign with facts, I think his personnel file is absolutely directly relevant to this and to anything that he's going to be doing. He claims not to be a politician. As I've stated, over the last 10 years, he's run for five separate offices. No one's ever vetted this guy. No one knows what it is that he does. But that's only one of the things that is contained within this. Now, that should have been referred to the Attorney General's office. That could have been referred to the DA's office. It's, as I said, it's a 10-year felony and goes directly to the integrity.
It's a 10-year felony to alter a police record. Is that really what he did here, or did he just...
Well, what else would you call it, Charles? He ordered... The report had been done by a subordinate officer. This man, who was the shift commander, told him to change it, to remove a name. Now, this is mandatory discovery for the defense bar. As we sit here today, I have to fill out forms when my officers testify in federal court that they haven't been disciplined for exactly this type of incident. And this is exactly what goes, as I said, to the integrity of the criminal justice system. How can we trust anything that this is going to cause problems for the town of Plymouth in the sense that every case that this man has testified in or written a report on for the last 10 years and they haven't disclosed that he's falsified reports in the past are going to cause problems. This is a similar situation to the Annie Dukin at the crime lab.
Okay, just to finish this up, Scott, we've both spent time in court, thankfully never as a defendant, and people do rely on those reports. Prosecutors and defense rely on those reports.
Like I said before, you know, much is said about could have, should have, would have. I think what what Joe's saying, basically saying, is that Chief Pomeroy didn't do his job, because Chief Pomeroy didn't see that it was such a deal where I should receive any formal discipline.
And Chief Pomeroy is the former chief of police.
Yes, and the current chief was the captain at the time. So Joe, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, 10 years, all this other stuff, for a supervisory decision that the result of it was, Scott, don't do that again. That wasn't the right decision to make at the time. Don't do it again. There was no prosecution. There was no Annie Dugan. There was all this is all a distraction. This is a distraction. I have testified in federal court. All right. I'm admitted to practice in the federal bar. All right. This past internal complaint is a molehill. Right, it is not a mountain. It is not something that's going to result in cases being overturned. But not only that, would the current chief of police have the confidence in me to train all of his officers in the judicious use of force biannually if I was some type of person who was continuously using excessive force or any of those other things? No, I train officers how not to use excessive force. And I think that speaks volumes.
Okay. Let's start with the sheriff here. Nepotism, that's been a big word in a lot of the commercials that Scott Vecchi has run in his campaign, accusing you of nepotism, hiring an unqualified fleet manager, and having another employee run some type of mail order bride human trafficking business. Please explain, defend, or refute that.
Oh, Christine, where do I begin? You know, Charles mentions a smear campaign. Apparently you haven't seen Mr. Vecchi's internet videos. They're really quite interesting. They smear a lot of very good people. He talks about nepotism and patronage. I'm not sure he knows the definitions of those words, because there is none of that that's going on at the Plymouth County Sheriff's Office. As of the first of this month, we have 602 employees. Now, he talks about me hiring my friends. I like to think I'm friends with most of those 602 people. That's just the nature of the beast. I like to work with or be friends with the people that I work with. As far as nepotism, you know, none of those 602 people are related to me by blood or by marriage. So for him to say these types of things, I think, is outrageous. For him to go after and smear individual employees who do a great job, as I've said, my staff is the best in the business. And for him to say the terrible things he said about them, as far as the human trafficking, this is something that was brought up, again, as a smear campaign against one of our employees. I have never heard anything from any official agency about any of this. He's alleging a crime that took place 20 years ago. He's smearing that individual. And if he is a law enforcement officer of any integrity and he knows of a crime and someone who's got something to do with it, he's obligated to report it, and he hasn't.
Okay, but we never got to the other person. That was the your fleet, you know, an unqualified fleet manager. What are they talking about here? What is he talking about?
Well, trying to allege there, my fleet manager is a gentleman here from Marshfield, somebody that I have known for many, many years. We had problems in the past in the position of fleet manager. This gentleman came out, he was a manager. Mr. Vecchi likes to allege that he was a short order cook. It couldn't be further from the truth. He's got a background in food service, and he's got a background in management. He also has a background in automotive repair. And as I said, management. So the guy does a fantastic job. The person that we had in that position before was someone that I had misplaced trust in, and you know, we had some problems. So since that individual has left, and this new one has come in, I shouldn't even call him new. He's been there for many years. He does an exemplary job. Our fleet is one of the best in the business, and we are very, very well served by everybody that works in our fleet garage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Vecchi, you've said on a lot of your campaign appearances that your life is an open book, ask you any question. The question I would like to know is about, there's been some controversy about a tattoo that you have, and I'd like to know if you would show us your tattoo and explain what it means.
I have a scout sniper tattoo, and it has the runic S's in it. It is not anti-Semitic. It is not anything like that. Scout sniper, if you Google scout sniper, the runes come up. It's commonly used, has commonly been used by Marine scout snipers. I do have a tattoo of it. It's right here. It's only for me. It commemorates me graduating from Marine Corps scout sniper school. And somebody wrote a 5-page document about my tattoos and such. My question is the band Kiss anti-Semitic?
I don't have that.
What I'm saying is the runes are used by other people. The band Kiss, the last time I checked, the entire band is Jewish. but they seem to be okay with
it. Will you show us your tattoo?
You want me to take off my shirt?
Well, don't you have one in your forearm?
Oh, I have one on my forearm, but I may have to take off my shirt to show you that one.
Okay. So we'll just...
The one
yeah, sure.
The one on my forearm?
Let's put this rumor to rest, then.
The one on my forearm is an arrow with an S through it. The S is drawn with the bones of a serpent. When Marine snipers operate on the battlefield, they call in their location. They call in their location and say, this is where we are, and this is the compass bearing that we're heading. S is for sniper. The arrow is the direction they're pointing in.
So every Marine Scout sniper has this exact tattoo?
This is personal to me because this drawing was on the wall behind my instructor's desk. And it sat there the whole time I was at one of the hardest schools in the Marine Corps. Something that took a lot out of me to get through. This is also painted on the wall at the schoolhouse at Fort Benning, Georgia, where the Army trains their snipers. And it's painted on the wall. It is an arrow with a serpent.
That's not a bullwhip?
It couldn't be farther from a bullwhip. This is a 13-year-old tattoo. I have a better picture on my phone if you'd like to see where the original came from. But that is not in any way, shape, or form a bullwhip. It is a serpent. But a serpent is a skeleton in the shape of an S.
What about this other tattoo you're talking about?
I have a...
Where's that?
So it's on my upper arm. I don't know if I can do it without taking off my shirt, but...
That's okay. It's radio.
Okay.
Just for the record, I've been to Brooklyn, New York, several times. I have no tattoos.
Thanks, Charles.
Okay.
That is right there.
Now, why does that fade in the center?
I was actually having work done to all my tattoos. There's a misspelling, and I actually want to have 0317. When I was 8541 right here is the MOS for Scout Sniper. It is a numerical designation, all right? The MOS was changed because it was a secondary MOS, which means that you only had that while you were in that job. Once you leave, you reverted back to your regular 03 infantry specialty. They've since made it 0317 as a primary that you will stay in that occupation the whole time that you're in the Marine Corps.
And what about that design, though? That's where is that the SS? Yeah, is this where the question is?
There's runes inside of the reticle.
So
cross sniper rifles.
Isn't that what the Gestapo wore on their lapels and their uniforms?
The runes have been used throughout the years.
But isn't that what the Gestapo had in the lapels of their uniforms?
Was it used by the
Gestapo?
Yes, they did.
Why would you have that on your arm?
Right. It is
something
for
that would used by the Nazi Gestapo.
Okay. Marine Scout snipers have used it forever.
Do you think that's right?
Do I think if it's used in a non-Nazi context, I didn't see a problem with it. Again, 13 years ago, I got a tattoo, which has not been a problem until I decided to run for sheriff.
Are you getting that taken off?
I'm getting work done. Over here, I'm getting a St. Michael that goes from my shoulder down. I'm moving my Eagle Globe and Anchor over here. And I'm having 0317 put on. So I've been having work done on my tattoos for about
like
a year.
But it looks like your runes or your SS mark. It looks like that's faded and the rest of it isn't.
It is faded out because I'm having work done on my tattoos.
Are you having that removed or enhanced?
I don't understand. I was having laser done to fix a spelling and to fade that out so I could put 0317 across the top of it.
When did you start doing that?
Probably about a year or two ago.
Okay, so you're not anti-Semitic then?
No. My wife is a Pole. Her aunt and uncle were both in concentration camps in Germany. The Holocaust was a terrible thing. I've actually been to Auschwitz, and that whole place is so creepy, it's indescribable. But the fact that my wife had family members in concentration camps, and then I've been to this person's house, and they know me, I don't see how in any way, shape, or form anybody has ever considered me anti-Semitic.
Let me ask you another question. Let's say that you were an inmate at the jail and you came in there and they saw that tattoo on your arm, would they segregate you from the rest of the population with the SS there?
It would be in the context of whether or not I was a gang member, and I'm not a gang member.
Would they assume that you're white supremacist seeing something like that?
I don't believe so. Again, it's a Marine. It's in the context. Life is in context. My tattoo is a Marine tattoo that I got outside of Camp Lejeune 13 years ago.
All right. Any follow-up to that question? Kevin Tachi?
It's my new favorite. Pick your poison, gentlemen. And the two topics are recidivism or budgets. We'll start with you, Sheriff.
Pick a topic for you.
Either one, yeah. Which, yeah, you either recidivism or budgets.
Whatever. Budgets is fine.
Okay.
alphabetically.
Well, you only get one. You're not going to answer both of them. And he'll have the same opportunity which one he wants to answer as well. One of the issues that both you candidates have disputed is the Sheriff's Department's budget. Your opponent says that you've had to seek supplemental budgets at various times in the fiscal year. Is that true, and why is that?
Well, my opponent has made this commentary either out of political convenience or out of a profound lack of understanding of how the budgets for the sheriffs are done. All 14 sheriffs are part of what's known as a state supplemental budget. And what happens at the beginning of the year, a certain appropriation or a portion of an appropriation is given. At the end of a fiscal year, the sheriffs, all 14 of them, come in, they meet with the governor's Office of Administration and Finance, we make justification for what numbers we need to close out that fiscal year, and then that budget is filed by the governor's office, and then we have to go and make the same presentations to House and Senate Ways and Means, and we have to get what is part of a state supplemental budget passed. To state that we've overspent the budget is a misstatement. I take great exception to that. We are, as I said, the most efficient sheriff's office. And last fiscal year, we ended up returning over $7.5 million to the state, to the general fund. And looking over the last 5 years, let's say, we have returned an average of $9.5 million to the state general fund every year. Thank you.
Scott, same with you. Do you want recidivism or do you want budgets?
I think we've covered budgets. I have my own take on that, but I think I'll go with recidivism for something different.
Okay. Do you know what the recidivism rate is in Plymouth County, the correctional facility, and where it ranks among other county jails in the state at this time?
I believe it's somewhere around 31%. I'm not positive. The one thing about the Plymouth County is a large facility that holds a lot more inmates than many of the other sheriff's departments in the state. So when you look at recidivism, you have to look at it in the context of not just what is the percentage in relation to the other sheriff's departments, but you have to also look at it in the context that this is a larger agency. So if it is somewhere in the middle or somewhere below, you have to look at it in context with other large agencies. Recidivism is important, and it's a big word. And basically, the short version of that word is make your community safer. We can never do enough to lower recidivism, because when we lower recidivism, we make the community safer. And we do that by realistic job training. We do that by partnering them with sponsors for AA and NA in the communities. And a lot of things that there are programs in place, but in my opinion, are not nearly enough to lower our recidivism rate.
Okay, so what needs to be done to improve that rate? What would you do if you're elected? What would you do to improve that rate?
Well, the first thing that we need to look at is the onion that is addiction. When you look at the reason why they're in there, you have to peel that onion back. Are they in there because they stole something? Did they steal to facilitate abuse and addiction? When you peel that back, then we have AA and NA programs, and there are AA and NA programs within. However, when they're released, we're not pairing them with sponsors in the community. I personally want to bring the Teen Challenge program, and I've talked with some of the people out there that I would like to. I don't know if we know what Teen Challenge. It has the highest percentage of addiction recovery. It's an 86% success rate. And what I would like to do is bring components of that, and actually even have the orientation in phase one within a unit, so that when they're released, they can go to the Brockton campus and continue. Or we can work with the drug courts to see whether or not they want to suspend their sentence pending their successful completion of Teen Challenge. But in addition to that, we need to look into the community and say, these individuals have a quarry. They have a record. What type of a job can they realistically get in the community with a quarry? Because I have to stop.
I was going to give you 3 more seconds.
I don't want to get the ding. I don't want to get the bell.
Okay.
I'm not going to outdo Tony.
Oh, you'd have to do a lot to outdo Tony.
Yeah,
let's move on to Charles.
Bring a bag of phone books.
Yeah, that happened. Joe, many fatal overdoses occur when addicts are released from detox, and your facility, the Plymouth County House of Corrections, is one of the major detox facilities in eastern Massachusetts, unfortunately. What have you done to limit those overdoses, the return to community?
Well, thank you, Charles, for that question. I was very proud to be one of only two elected officials to serve on Governor Baker's opiate task force and had a direct hand in helping to draft the legislation that passed this past March. I'm also very proud of a lot of the work that's done by my program staff down there, and a recent collaboration within the last year and a half, 2 years, with the Massachusetts Department of Correction. Prison populations, perhaps it's counterintuitive to people, but prison populations as a whole are on a decline. So what that gave us was some surplus space at the Plymouth County Correctional Facility. I formulated an idea, and strangely enough was called by the Secretary of Public Safety, Dan Bennett, who had exactly the same idea that I had. Could we utilize that space for overflow capacity from MASAC, the Substance Abuse Treatment Center in Bridgewater, because they were terribly, terribly overcrowded. So we had the plan ready to go. We partnered with Department of Corrections. We're in the process now of running people through a very intense program, a very good program, and we're saving lives down there. I'm very proud of that, and thank you for the question.
But what about, what are you doing on release back into the community?
Well, we have program staff, as I said, down there. One of the groups that we have within our program staff are reentry people. And their job is to get people ready to reenter our communities, our local communities. Where all the sheriffs now are doing great work with reference to this. We're teaming up with our departments of correction. They're sending their inmates to us in the last year and a half of their sentences. And what we're doing is we're helping them get placement outside. We're helping them learn life skills. We're trying to get them situated in a situation where my opponent mentions, he mentions the Vivitrol. We're doing that. We're not doing it in the facility. We're doing it as they're leaving the facility. We're reactivating their health insurance coverage. We are getting them a primary care physician when they're returning to the community. So we are doing everything humanly possible, and I'm sure we're going to continue to think of new ways to do this, to innovate, to get people into the community, into jobs, and into productive lives. Thank you.
And just a reminder, you're listening to 95.9 FM, WATD, the South Shore's news and information station. This is a debate right now, a forum between the two candidates for sheriff, the incumbent Joe McDonald, and his challenger Scott Vecchi. Now, let's go back to Charles Matthews, and you had another question.
Scott, and by the way, I think this was the first tonight. I don't think anyone has undressed and dressed again during a political forum. So,
well, we are on camera, so I had to be careful how far I did undress.
Yeah, that's right. Congratulations on setting a precedent.
Thank you.
You are on the other side for the of law enforcement on this opiate question. Most of the time, you're accustomed to busting the dealers. How would you make the transition to treatment of addicts?
Well, that's actually very interesting, because for a long time, especially when I started my career working in Roxbury and Dorchester for the transit police, we would have people selling heroin literally right in front of the train stations, and we would run around and arrest them all up. And for the beginning of my career, I believed we could arrest our way out of this problem. But I realized that we can't, and I've actually helped on the street get individuals into treatment. I've helped family members work through the Section 35 process. I've already made that transition to realize that enforcement is a component of the onion, but it is not the only component of the onion. We actually, I arrested somebody at Panera Bread. I was going for lunch, and somebody said, hey, check on that guy in that car. I walk up to the car. I can see the spoon. I can see the needle. I rap on the window. He looks at me with the pinpoints. Naturally, we checked to make sure he was okay medically, but after he was being arrested, he said, I need my meds. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, in the trunk, I have a bag of medicine. It was from the VA. He had gone through the VA system. He had been prescribed opiates. They pulled his oxys and perks, and he transitioned to heroin. So when we went to court, I sat on one side of him, and his father was on the other side of him, and we worked with the DAs to get him into treatment. I've made that transition.
Okay. All right, I want to go to our lightning round now, and let's ask the candidates questions here, which are either yes or no or one or two sentences tops. So let's start with you, Mr. Tachi. Questions, lightning round questions.
Should there be a civil service type of test or hiring process for the Sheriff's Department? Yes or no, and I'll even give one to two sentences. We'll start with you, Scott.
Yes.
Yes, and we have one.
Charles Matthewson.
If you had the following career choice, would you prefer to be a writer or an actor, Scott?
I'll go with writing. My acting skills leave something to be desired.
Okay. Sheriff, what do you think?
Wait a minute. We didn't get Joe's.
Okay,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I'm more of a writer.
Any more dating game questions there?
No. Okay. I might disagree with George in his acting ability.
What do you think you can do better in this job or do better than your opponent does, would do? Two sentences. I know it's tough to do.
What do I think I
would? Why do you think you would be better in this job than your opponent? Two sentences.
I've done the job for the last 12 years, and I'm running the best sheriff's office in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Okay, Scott Vecchi, why do you think you would do a better job in two sentences?
Innovation and change. After 12 years, things become stale. I started at the ground level as a corrections officer, and I'm working my way to the top as sheriff.
Okay. Lightning round question, Kevin Tonchi.
I'm going to go with Charles on this one. Actually, I'm going to go with the presidential, one of the presidential forums that happened recently. If you could say one positive or nice thing about your opponent, what would it be? Joe.
He has a great work ethic.
Scott.
Joe's always had a great personality.
Okay. Charles Mathewson.
That's what I was referring to when I said about acting.
Lightning round.
Okay. Who's financing your campaign, Scott?
Primarily me. I sold my snowmobiles, my jet skis, and a bunch of other stuff, and I put a lot of my own money in.
Okay. Joe, who's financing your campaign?
Oh, it's a large number of people. There are community people and employees that work there.
Okay, two sentences.
Friends, family, yeah.
Okay. Here, I want to give you folks a chance now to ask each other a question. Scott Vecchi, do you have a question for the sheriff? And remember, keep the answers to a minute.
My question is the Vivitrol shots. The last I checked, we weren't giving them at the sheriff's department. Is that correct? And if it is, why wouldn't we do that, seeing as it's such an important program like the Barnstable County Sheriff does?
I agree. It's a very very important program that we actually do. We don't do it within the walls of the sheriff's department because that is the shot itself is something that has a time limited effect. It's good for 30 days. So what we're doing is we're scheduling those people when they're leaving, as I said, our reentry people, get them hooked up with a primary care physician, and the physician on the outside upon their release is giving that Vivitrol shot to maximize the time that it's going to be effective while they're in the community.
Okay. Joe, would you like to ask your opponent a question?
I notice, Mr. Vecchi, that underneath the tattoo that you had showed us on your bicep there, there is a word in German, and that word is Kopfjäger. Do you know what that means?
Headhunter. It's what they call snipers.
Why is it in German, if I may be so bold?
It's what the Marine Corps uses. In World War II, the Germans called snipers headhunters because they took shots to the head. It's in German because of history, because of Marine Corps history. It's not something that I decided.
Okay. Let's go to closing statements now, and we're going to reverse order. And this time, again, you got 2 minutes for closing statements. If you feel that there was a question that you didn't get to fully answer during the forum, you can use the 2 minutes to do that, too. So we'll begin with Joe McDonald, then we'll go to Scott Vecchi. Whenever you're ready, yep.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come in here tonight. As I stated, I am not a politician. I am a law enforcement professional. In the last decade, I have only run for election to one office. That is that of Plymouth County Sheriff. During this period of time, my opponent has continually run for office, running for 5 different seats and offices in 2 different political parties. I think that it's also interesting, the rule of 5 applies. As we sit here today, I think Mr. Vecchi indicates he's a sergeant in the Plymouth Police Department, which we all know, but he indicates that he's got 5 different jobs as we sit here. I'm just going to ask people to think about that for a minute. Does it make any sense that an individual could have 5 jobs and do any of them with any level of competency or completeness? I want to say that I've received a number of great endorsements. I think it's unfortunate that Sergeant Vecchi is referring to former Chief Pomeroy and Chief Mike Boteri not doing their jobs supervising him. I think that the falsifying of police reports speaks for itself. Those individuals did what they thought was right. We saw those tattoos that he has. It's interesting to note that he doesn't mention also that I became aware of those tattoos, not because I had seen them, although the one on his forearm is also a Nazi tattoo. It's a tear. TYR rune, and it is also accompanied by what is clearly a bullwhip, which is associated with white supremacist organizations, the Aryan Nation. The question was asked, and it is true, if he were to appear as an inmate with those tattoos, he would be identified as a member of a security threat group, the Aryan Nation, one of those types of groups, and we would have a problem with that. I want to say also my endorsements, as my time is drawing to a close here. I've been endorsed by the Plymouth County Police Chiefs unanimously, including the Plymouth Chief, Plymouth County Police Officers Association, the Massachusetts Correctional Officers Federated Union, and the Southeastern Mass Detectives. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Joe McDonald, your closing statement. Now a closing statement to Scott Vecchi.
Like I said before, I'm the fourth generation of a public safety professional. I'm not a politician. I do have a strong desire for public service, and I'm one of those people that believes that you can't just sit and complain about it. You can't sit and say somebody should do something and not step up and run for office. A lot has been said that I've run for five different offices, including when I was an elected town meeting representative in Plymouth, if you want to consider that, you know, as a big elected office. Two parties, I was an unenrolled candidate for a long time. Eventually, I said, you know what, in order to be successful in politics, you need to affiliate with a party. And I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat because I'm a union guy. I've been the vice president. I was the vice president of my union until I had to step back to run for this office. Unions are Democrats. I'm a Democrat. It's awful interesting how all of a sudden, after a pretty well-decorated 24-year law enforcement career, that in the last, I want to say, 8 months, I've become something different. That according to Joe, that I'm a Nazi, that I've... There was a rumor spread that I was gay. There was all these other things that are alleged after 23 years of police and corrections experience that now, just because I'm running for sheriff, Joe said that re-election is earned. During the last election, there was a lot of dirt dug upon the opponent, which caused him to withdraw from the election. And Joe ran unopposed. And I was informed early on that the same tactics would be used against me. So I had to set my wife down and say, look, this is what's going to happen. They're going to say nasty things about me. But we've been married for a long time, and you know me. And all of my friends know me. And they know that none of these things are true. As far as the falsification of police reports and all this other crazinesses, I've never been vetted. I've run for five different offices, but nobody ever paid attention to me. That's unbelievable. And I humbly ask for your vote. See through this charade.
That's Scott Vecchi, his final statement tonight. Both men are looking for your vote for Plymouth County Sheriff. This entire debate will be up on our website probably within a few hours. You'll hear selected cuts from this tomorrow morning during Morning Drive. And, of course, on election night, we'll have reporters with both these men, and we'll bring you the results just as soon as they happen. We appreciate you joining us tonight. If you stay tuned, we'll be back with another political forum, and that's the 4th Plymouth District. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Christine James. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you.